From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, this is Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. In today's show, Andy explains the impact of water temperatures on germination. Russ Parker brings us a conversation with Lori Reese of Pivot Bio about the Innovator program. And I get the latest on Iowa's climate patterns with state climatologist Dr. Justin Glisson. Now here are your hosts for today, Mark Magnuson and Andy Peterson.
Thank you, Riley. Another beautiful day here in the state of Iowa, at least to start the day here in central Iowa in Des Moines. We have blue skies, and that's kind of been the trend here this week, Andy, as the wind has been doing a lot of work to help dry out those fields for farmers if they've gotten any rain recently. The wind has been very intense here in the last few days. How has it affected you?
I like the way that you put that, Mark. It's the one saving grace from Mother Nature's windiness is the drying aspect of things. Something that we probably didn't think that we'd be needing to talk about here a month or so ago, the need to dry out, but yet here we are. You're trying to do any spraying, it's been a bit of a challenge. There's no question about that. Looking ahead a little bit here, soil temps good to go. It looks like 50 degrees plus everywhere in the state. And there's certainly some concern that I'm picking up about planting ahead of the rain this coming weekend. But the predictions are, from a couple of agronomists that I've discussed things with this morning, it's going to be a warm rain. So it should be okay, Mark. And I oftentimes wonder how goofy that sounds to a non-agriculturalist talking about whether it's a cold rain or a warm rain. But it absolutely makes a difference. More on that coming up. Right now, Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net kicks us off visiting with Mark about the grain markets.
Joined today by Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Jim, what's happening with the grains?
Hey, good morning. It is relatively quiet overnight. We've got the corn market up about a quarter cent. Bean market was up a quarter on the May contracts, but down a penny on the new crop. Wheat's seen a little bit of a pullback here, Mark. Maybe a little bit better chances of rain at least some portions of the wheat belt. The wheat has been doing the heavy lifting, I believe, in these markets. It is the one that's been the lead dog of this train trying to pull the markets up. So wheat's down a little bit, pulling everything down just a little bit today, at least in the overnight.
So you alluded to it, but wheat being up in recent days kind of leading the charge. Why is it sometimes that when that happens for the wheat marketplace where we see the wheat market move to the upside and then those other commodities follow along, is there a relationship there, or was it just the case of somebody needed to kind of get the market started here this week?
I think it's kind of a combination thing. Let me start why I think the wheat market rallied. The first one is we have some dryness issues in multiple portions of the world. You've definitely got some dryness issues in parts of the plains. You've got dryness issues in the Ukraine. You've also got some dryness issues being reported in Russia. So there is a fear that you're getting the world wheat supply could be tightening a little bit with this dryness issues. Now, we've got a long way to go, but, you know, that's the trend at the moment. Then on top of it, a couple things happened over the weekend. I think, you know, if you look at it, Russia is really starting to step up their attacks on the Ukraine, okay? And they've been obviously at war for a while, but it seems like once it looked like the U.S. is going to start to refund, you know, the war effort, at least with munitions and all that, Russia is now starting to go after infrastructure a little bit harder. They went after one of the Ukrainian ports over the weekend. So if Russia takes a mentality where if I can't win the war, I'm just going to I'm going to destroy the infrastructure, that's got people thinking maybe, you know, even though Ukraine's done a very good job getting grain out of the country, that could become a problem. So a little bit of war premium coming in. And then lastly, yeah, one of the highest populations of the world is India. India is just like us. It's in a big presidential election year, okay? Well, what they've been doing is they've been essentially unloading wheat out of the government reserves to drive down the price of food in India to try to control food inflation, because they're having inflation problems just like the United States. But what that's done, Mark, is it's dropped the wheat ending stocks to 16, 17-year lows. So if they have an okay crop, it's fine. But if India starts to struggle, they've gotten rid of all their reserves, they're going to be maybe forced into the international market to buy wheat, which could drive the international prices up as they attempt to drive their prices down. Because remember, they're not usually a big buyer of world wheat. So if they're coming in and buying wheat, they're going to compete with somebody else who traditionally imports wheat. So those are the storylines that started to come in. The funds are short wheat, they're short corn, they're short beans. So as they started getting forced out in the fundamental story, I think you saw the short covering in the wheat, it bled into the corn, and now it's bleeding into the beans a little bit.
Thank you to Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net. Always enjoy talking to Jim here on Wednesdays. It's time now for Andy Peterson and the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Finding benefits to the warmer winter and less frost depth. State climatologist Justin Glisson says over the past few months, the weather has largely been characterized by warmer than normal temperatures. And since the ground didn't freeze as hard, that means the recent storms have been able to get moisture deeper into the soil.
So we've been in a more active storm track recently. If you look at the wintertime summary, second warmest winter on record, third warmest December on record, second driest and warmest February on record. So that strong El Nino that we have in the Pacific that's currently dwindling really had an impact on the storm track across the United States, giving us a warm winter.
He says we are now in our 199th consecutive week of drought in Iowa, but fortunately we're trending in the right direction.
Number two.
Some great recognition for Iowa-based Pivot Bio, as the Innovator Program has been recognized by the Environment Plus Energy Leaders Top Project Award. During 2023, about 20% of Pivot Bio's customers together documented the replacement of more than 16,500 tons of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer across over 800,000 acres with Proven 40.
Number one.
Continuing to plan for one of the largest outdoor ag shows in the United States, that would be Farm Progress Show, held this year in Boone. Matt Youngman is the show director.
Rather than a bunch of one-off meetings that everybody's scheduling, we decided to bring all the vendors, so all the tent companies, pressure washers, landscapers, electricians, bring all the vendors that do work for those exhibitors and get them here on one day. And then all of the big exhibitors have the opportunity to come in and stand on their lot, talk about their plans for this year, the way they want to change their exhibit from the last time they were here in 22. Maybe they're growing or expanding or have a new product introduction. So they get together with their vendors and make sure that the plans that they're putting together are going to work on site.
He says it's important to mark your calendars for the end of August, as it'll be here before we know it. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Every day, you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experior. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experior creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Lanco representative or visit experiorbeef.com to learn more.
This portion of Iowa Ag Matters brought to you in part by Experior from Elanco. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll continue that discussion. What Andy mentioned just a little bit ago, warm rain versus cold rain. What does that mean for germination? Next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Warm rain versus cold rain. Big deal, you say, right? Well, hold on. Just a second on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Mark today in for Dustin. Riley's, of course, making us sound good as always. Hashtag Plant 24 well underway now across the state. What did we see? 13% of the corn, according to Monday's USDA report, was in, and 8% of the soybeans, which is still ahead of normal. And now it looks like pretty much full-scale activity. In my travels, including at Peterson Grain and Ag, both planters will be out and about later on this afternoon. Once we get a slight bug or gremlin chased out of the corn planter system, it's amazing. Mark, you can work on them all you want to. You can prepare them all you want to. Double-check things all you want to. And yet, you get to the field that first time, and there's always a couple of more adjustments that need to be made. That's just sort of the nature of the beast. You may have been wondering about warm rain versus cold rain. And one of the things I absolutely love about agriculture in general and Iowa agriculture is we wake up every morning, and I think it's one of the last advocations or careers where this may be the case, trying to figure out how to do it better. How can we make this better? How can we do this better? Judged by a lot of different standards. But one of them is to better assess planting conditions and be wise about when those things go, because now we know we can plant a third of the crop or more in a week. So it's about timing and soil conditions as much as anything is when we ought to be there. And that's prompted the discussion here, looking at the forecast, about rains, warm rains, cold rains. Should we be planting? Should we maybe hold off? It's calm today. We can do some spraying instead. So what's the issue? Well, you're talking about seeds. and sprouting, germinating and sprouting once they're put into the ground. And pretty much all the seed companies have determined, now this is more so on corn than it is on beans, with the treatments and such available, seed treatments for beans is not as big a deal. But that seed that you place in the ground, the first thing it does is consume water. And then from there, starts to sprout. And if that first drink of water it gets is below 50 degrees, that will kill the germination on some of your seeds, meaning less population, right?
Sure.
And in a world where we're VRT seeding, precision planting, if you will, it's not as if we're scattering a whole lot of extra out there, for one, a cost perspective, two, a resources perspective, and three, an availability perspective, as seed supplies are very tight. So you need all the ears that you can get, right?
Yeah.
And literally that's the difference between a warm rain and a cold rain. If that rain is, temperature of the water is, you know, 45 degrees, it soaks down in part of the first drink that that seed gets, some of them won't come up. And so you literally capped your yield or shrank your yield from the second, the something 6 months down the road that you'll finally see, right? But that's the level of precision that we are at now, which is kind of cool, isn't it?
It is. It's very cool. And that is, you know, like you said, that can make a difference just going into a rainfall. That temperature change can very easily happen. We'll have more Iowa Ag Matters in a moment.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, let's look around the state, get you updated on your cash grain prices after three up days in the marketplace, grains and oilseeds markets. About time, huh? Dustin has the numbers for you right in after this on Iowa Ag Matters.
Time to run down those elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Wednesday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of those numbers. Not much change here today. Let's see where we're at. Let's start at ADM Burlington. 2 cents over on corn today, 444. Soybeans even at 1166. Cargill and Eddyville, a dime over on corn today, cash bid 452. New Co-op Algona, a dime over on corn, 452. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1111. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, 467. Soybeans, 65 cents under. They're at 1101. Ag State Elta, 2 cents under on corn, cash bid 440. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1111. Cargill Cedar Rapids, they're 27 cents over on corn, 469. Soybeans, a dime over, cash bid 1176. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, 457. Soybeans, 45 cents under at 1121. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 18 cents over on corn today, cash bid 460. At ADM Des Moines, they're 8 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1158. New Co-op Red Oak, 5 cents over on corn today, 447. Soybeans 50 cents under at 1116. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn today, cash bid 432. Soybeans 48 cents under at 1118. At New Co-op Sheraton, they're 15 cents under on corn today at 427. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1111. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn today, 436. Soybeans 42 cents under at 1124.
New Co-op Glidden, a dime over on corn, cash bid 452, soybeans 50 cents under at 1116. In Innovative Ag Farley, they're 6 cents over on corn, 448, soybeans 39 cents under, cash bid 1127. And Cargill Muscatine, 2 cents under on corn, 440, soybeans a dime under at 1156. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's your basis report here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've still got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday grain and livestock markets. Mark and Andy will have that for you coming up. Don't forget about the free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up.
As you're hearing about in your three big Iowa Ag Matters today, a really cool award for our friends at Pivot Bio. We'll expand on that a little bit here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Mark and for Dustin today, Riley, making us sound good as always. And special correspondent Russ Parker now visiting with Lori Reese at Pivot Bio to learn more about replacing synthetic nitrogen. Russ?
So you're working on a project. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah, so growers who use our Pivot Bio products, which our products replace synthetic fertilizer, most prominently our Proven 40 product, which provides 40 pounds of fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer across the season. Those growers who use our product and reduce synthetic fertilizer have the opportunity to participate in what we call the Innovator Program.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. This makes sense, I know, from a lot of different perspectives. Why is Pivot doing this?
Yeah, Russ, so as you can imagine, replacing synthetic fertilizer has an environmental benefit to all of us that live on the planet. And what we're able to do through the Innovator Program is capture the data that proves that that management change happened on the field. In return, growers receive revenue from companies that want to make an investment in their own environmental remediation.
So why is this important?
I can edit all day long. But I know it's important.
So why is it important to Pivot Bio? And why would a farmer want to participate in this program? Past the synthetic replacement of a nitrogen component.
This mission is important to Pivot Bio because we set out to change how fertilizer is managed on the farm. And our goal, our long-term vision as a company, is to replace synthetic fertilizer. Microbial nitrogen fertilizer is a better source for the crop all season long. And that is why we see it as being important and valuable.
So can a grower sign up at any time? Is it at the point of purchase, or how does that work?
Yeah, growers become eligible based on their location in a partner program draw area. Once those draw areas open up, our farmer portal allows them to enter their data. Field by field boundary, we're capturing information about their nitrogen management practices, identifying where and when they applied the Pivot Bio product, and then through the farmer portal, we have them sign agreements and affidavits to close the program out.
I have data that's valuable to me as a producer, and it's kind of affidavited, it's proven. How can I use that in a meaningful way?
Yeah, so what we are doing inside the Innovator Program is we have business development people that are reaching out to organizations that want to invest in that management change. That management change is confirmed by the data that we're able to aggregate and calculate. We calculate it as a nitrogen credit and make it sellable on behalf of the grower to those downstream organizations.
So if a grower wants to get more information, I mean, where can they go? Where are you sending that initial inquiry?
Yeah, they can find out information about the Innovator Program on the pivotbio.com website, and there is a section dedicated to our sustainability programs, and they can find that Innovator information on the website.
Well, I'm with Lori Reese. We've been talking about the Innovator Program at Pivot Bio, and this is Russ Parker reporting for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Thank you to Russ stopping by and speaking with Lori Reese at Pivot Bio. Interesting conversation, as always, from the folks at Pivot. And it's time now to continue our three big Iowa Ag Matters with Andy.
Number three.
Continuing to invest in water quality in urban areas, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag announced that the department will invest in 14 water quality projects within communities of all sizes across the state. He made the announcement to his city leaders in Davenport, an event with Goose Creek Park, the location of one of the new projects. Now, utilizing funding from the Water Quality Initiative and other sources, the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship will provide cost share grants that cover up to 50% of the total cost of each project.
Number two.
Finding benefits to the warmer winter and less frost depth, state climatologist Justin Glisson says over the past few months, the weather has largely been characterized by warmer than normal temperatures. And since the ground didn't freeze as hard, that means the recent storms have been able to get moisture deeper into the soil.
So we've been in a more active storm track recently. If you look at the wintertime summary, second warmest winter on record, third warmest December on record, second driest and warmest February on record. So that strong El Nino that we have in the Pacific that's currently dwindling really had an impact on the storm track across the United States, giving us a warm winter.
He says we are now in our 199th consecutive week of drought in Iowa, but fortunately we're trending in the right direction.
Number one.
Continuing to plan for one of the largest outdoor ag shows in the United States, that would be Farm Progress Show, held this year in Boone. Matt Youngman is the show director.
Rather than a bunch of one-off meetings that everybody's scheduling, we decided to bring all the vendors, so all the tent companies, pressure washers, landscapers, electricians, bring all the vendors that do work for those exhibitors and get them here on one day. And then all of the big exhibitors have the opportunity to come in and stand on their lot, talk about their plans for this year, the way they want to change their exhibit from the last time they were here in 22. Maybe they're growing or expanding or have a new product introduction. So they get together with their vendors and make sure that the plans that they're putting together are going to work on site.
He says it's important to mark your calendars for the end of August, as it'll be here before we know it. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Fascinating stuff there from our friends at Pivot Bio and the innovative work that they continue to engage in. And we talk about waking up every day earlier to do things better. Well, that's certainly on the forefront of innovation in Iowa agriculture. Let's take a look at some market numbers here. Mark and I dive in coming up on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Brandon Doherty of Total Farm Marketing for our midday discussion. Brandon, what are we seeing taking place in the grains on this Tuesday?
We currently have the grains up marginally compared to yesterday's strong close. Wheat closed quite strongly yesterday, and it's currently up 4 to 5 cents, so showing a little bit of follow-through, but not quite as much as yesterday. There hasn't been a lot of fundamental shift in the news to drive yesterday's rally, other than maybe some frost concerns in parts of the southwestern U.S. and then parts of Europe, and maybe some heat and dryness in Ukraine and Russia. So what we're seeing may be some short covering by the funds as we approach first notice day for May contracts.
Was that also a case then, Brandon, yesterday of those headlines about the weather just needing a little bit of something to kickstart the marketplace when it is so quiet as in terms of headlines?
I think so. I don't necessarily think that, like I said, it's the main driver because, you know, a little bit of frost concern and a little bit of heat and dryness in other parts of the world, I don't know if that warranted a 20-some cent rally in wheat, but I think it contributed for sure.
That was Brandon Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Daily estimated cattle slaughter total numbers coming in at 113,000 head. That's 7,000 less than a week ago and 12,000 less than a year ago. Boxes a bit stronger here at midday with 68 loads of choice cuts selling, 295.93, up 26 cents. Select 291.87, $1.04 stronger, meaning that spread narrows just a little bit more to $4.06. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 487,000 head, 5,000 more than a week ago and 20,000 more than a year ago. Off to the cash markets we go to wrap up yesterday's trade for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts produced or sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, only 1,632 head yesterday. Pretty light run. Weighted average price, $90.31, up $1.82. We had a ton of negotiated purchases, 201,456 to be exact. Weighted average price, $89.83, so that market was 20 cents weaker. Now, as far as what's happening at midday today, we've already gotten more negotiated purchases than we did all of yesterday. 2,371 head, weighted average price $91.01, so the market 45 cents stronger. As far as formula purchases go, 108,000 head, so a pretty light run. Weighted average price $90.86, that market $1.20 higher. Market man Mark Magnuson, back to you.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 2.5 at 4.42 1/4. May soybeans up 5 even at 11.66 even. May soybean meal up 20 cents at 3.44.50. May soybean oil up 18 cents at 45.22. On the Merck, June live cattle down $2.62 at 175.42. May feeder cattle down 50 cents at 244.67. May lean hogs up $1.35 at 98.05. May pork cut out up 82 cents at 102.90. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
On we go with the market conversation here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Mark, and Riley today as Dustin is off. And now we focus on the livestock. Jim McCormick from agmarket.net rejoins us. Here's Mark.
Let's switch over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What's happening with the cattle and hogs?
Well, technically, the cattle market went down pretty hard yesterday. It took out the 100-day moving average, took throughout the 20-day, but held the 10-day. Had a really nice reversal. Still closed lower, but quite a bit off the lows, which I think is a very good sign there. I mean, it's going to be a little bit interesting to see how we play. We know the cattle market really got rattled here when we found the bird flu, you know, the H5N1 virus in the dairy herd, okay? Well, it came out last night that the Food and Drug Administration said that they'd found that virus particles, not the virus, but particles on some samples of pasteurized milk. Now, the milk's safe. That's actually why we pasteurize it, you know, to kill the viruses that are in the milk. But, you know, we'll see how the public reacts to it. Is the public going to get a little bit leery about this? That's always a concern. So look for a little bit of a little bit of nervous trade here. I mean, overall, the long-term supply of cattle is still very tight. Cattle are a little bit heavy right now. That's going to be a limiting factor. But demand right now so far has been very, very strong, I would argue. And we're just moving into that big growing season. So hopefully we can keep this cattle working higher. But buying puts to protect equity is always a recommended idea.
And really coming out of, the very awful situation of COVID, I almost expected the public maybe to react to some of these headlines a little bit worse than they have. So I think that the fact that at least to this point, things have remained relatively calm, I think is a good indication, don't you?
I think it's a very good indication. And, we've had some headlines last week that the market did not break on like it was breaking earlier on. So hopefully the public's kind of taken an exhale about it and said, hey, look, this is fine. Like I said, so far, I haven't heard it being showing up in the beef herd right now. It's only showing up in dairy herds, in the milk, and obviously in the birds. And we got to keep an eye on it. I mean, the situation, we are still in the bird migratory season. So, unfortunately, you're probably going to hear more and more headlines over the next couple of weeks and months as these birds migrate and unfortunately pass this virus around. It is something that we need to keep an eye on, but right now it's not showing up in humans. So, I mean, we've dealt with this all through history. It's just one of those headlines we got to deal with.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, we've talked here recently on the show about the transition between El Nino to La Nina, and now coming up here on Iowa Ag Matters, Riley Smith going to sit down with Justin Glisson, state climatologist. We'll find out more about how that is going to affect Iowa, but first, in their conversation, they're going to talk about 199 straight weeks of some sort of drought here in the state. That's coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters. We know it's been dry here in the state of Iowa, specifically in Northeast Iowa, but when you really stop and think about just how long we have been in this dry period, it's really eye-opening. And Riley Smith talking with Justin Glisson, state climatologist, about that very same topic here on Iowa Ag Matters.
Tell us a little bit about the most recent climatology report and what we've been seeing lately in the weather.
Yeah, hi, Riley. Great to be back. Thanks for having me. So we've been in a more active storm track recently. If you look at the wintertime summary, second warmest winter on record, third warmest December on record, second driest and warmest February on record. So that strong El Nino that we have in the Pacific that's currently dwindling really had an impact on the storm track across the United States, giving us a warm winter. We also did see some improvement in soil moisture profiles, given that we really didn't have a really deep frost depth. So the snowpack that we got in January actually infiltrated into the shallow profiles. Now we lost some of that shallow moisture from the warm February, but March we were above average statewide, 44th wettest March on record. And then we've been in a pretty active storm track over the last 2 weeks where we've seen anywhere from 150 to 400% of normal rainfall across portions of the state. And why that's impactful is we're in the 199th consecutive week of D1 moderate drought somewhere in the state. And this has been the longest drought since 1954 to 1959.
So then speaking of those drought conditions, we had a long period where the entire state was in some sort of drought condition. Looking at this point, and I guess with the recent rains we've gotten, how are we trending on those drought conditions?
We're trending in a good direction. We're seeing the periphery of the current drought region eastern Iowa and northwestern Iowa drought-free. So we're peeling back those longer-term precipitation deficits. We still have two islands of D3 in northeastern Iowa, but we have seen coinciding rainfalls in the driest parts of the state. So overall, the trend has been improvement across the state. If you look at a change map from week to week, even the last few months, we've had widespread one category improvement across Iowa, but still a pretty broad scale drought. We need several months of very active storm track to really supply us with moisture for soil profiles, but also stream flows. Our inland streams have been pretty low. We've had some runoff. We have tile lines that are running with this current stint of more active weather. But definitely with almost 200 weeks of drought, that's where you really start to see longer term hydrological impacts. I think this week we'll also see some pretty good improvement across the state from the drought monitor released on Thursday.
So then, think about planting progress as well. Even with the bits of rain that we've gotten recently, I mean, there was even a little bit of rain across central Iowa today. You know, farmers are getting out into the fields pretty quickly. And, you know, in April, this is still pretty well ahead of what we would consider probably an average pace for planting progress. So, you know, with that maybe lack of a deep freeze over the winter, has that kind of helped with the moisture getting into the soil quicker and then maybe allowing for that topsoil to be worked?
Yeah, I think so. That's a great question. Of course, there's some compaction out there given longer-term dryness. And we saw this in the fall also with when we would get some regular rainfalls, even how dry the soil profiles were, the combines were back out in the field after a few hours or a day. Just that's how dry it was. So we're seeing, even with this rainfall, good infiltration, deeper infiltration, very deep down. Let's say we have a NASA Sport product that's a remote sense satellite tool that shows we're getting moisture down to that 80-100 inch level. So very deep down. Of course, we still need a lot more moisture to really improve the profiles, get us to the near normal conditions that we like to see. Not too bad to plant into drier soils and then turn the faucet on, force those roots a little deeper into that deeper moisture. But overall, we're ahead of the five-year average for planting corn and beans. And these rainfalls also are helping pastures green up. That's been a concern over the last several years, missing out on growing season rainfall. Pastures and hay have really been not optimal, and producers have been digging into stockpiles, and you know that leads to other things. So overall, it's been wonderful to see a more active storm track and the potential over the next 7 days for anywhere from 2 to 4 inches possible across the state.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Just like that, we're out of time on Iowa Ag Matters. Thanks to Mark for a tremendous job pinch hitting for Dustin today. Riley, as always, making us sound good. We appreciate you being here as well. On your authentic, official, and trusted voice, Iowa Agriculture, to our producers, happy planting. See you tomorrow.